things, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Jesus had just finished telling the story of the wise man and the foolish man, and how the wise man built his house upon the what? The rock, and the foolish man upon the sand. We sing the song. I don't think Jesus taught them the song, but he told them the story. And it says that they were astonished at his doctrine. So this is probably why they were following. This is probably why there were a great multitude following. Because listen, when Jesus Christ means something to you, you can't help but follow him. That's just the way it is. When Jesus Christ, when you hear, learn something from God's Word, or you hear a message, or God speaks to your heart in a special way, it's very easy to follow Him. It's very easy to get as close to Him as you possibly can. It's like you can't get enough of Him. And it's like these people couldn't get enough of Jesus. They kept following Him and following Him and following Him. That was verse 1. Go on to verse 2. It says, "And behold, there came a leper." Now let's stop right there. Back then, and even now, being a leper is not a very popular thing for anybody. It's not very popular, especially back then. Being a leper was not very popular. No one wanted to be around you. You really couldn't be around anybody else. Everybody hated you. It's kind of like being a dentist today, being a leper back then. No one likes dentists. I hate the dentist. But listen, this leper was not very popular. Back then, they were forced to separate themselves completely from others. If they were ever around anybody else, they had to yell, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" They couldn't be around anybody. Leprosy in those days was thought to be directly from the hand of God, showing that he was displeased with the receiver of this awful disease. That was how they thought back then. They thought that if you had leprosy, it wasn't because you just got sick. No, God was unhappy with you, and he was punishing you with leprosy. That's what they thought back then. That's why they had leprosy. So because of that philosophy, the doctors, the physicians, would refuse to treat the lepers. They wouldn't even try to help them. They wouldn't try to cure them. They wouldn't try to treat it. They would just send them right to the priest. And the priest would decide, the priest would try to find out if what God was going to do. They waited to see what God would do, whether or not he would take it away. So that's the life of a leper back then. Not a very exciting life, not a very happy life. No one could be around him. The doctors wouldn't even see him. Could you imagine having some sort of disease or problem and trying to go and not being able to? Just they say, "Well, we're not going to treat you. We don't feel like treating you." That would be very tough. And that's what the lepers were like back in those days. So let's read on. Okay, it said, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him." Now again, great faith is shown in this leper because he broke the leper's code. You're not supposed to get around people. You're not supposed to get close to anybody. That was just the rule. If you're a leper, you stay away from people. But this leper decided to go against all that, and he went to Jesus, and he ran to him, and he fell down before him in such a humble way and worshipped him. And he then requested healing. But not in a way that we'd expect. He didn't just say, heal me. Or Lord, can you heal me? This is what happened. Let's read on. Okay, so, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." The leper did not question Jesus' ability to heal. He only wondered if he was willing. Let me say that again. Think about that. This leper, he didn't question Jesus' ability to heal him. He knew that God could heal him. But he just wondered if Jesus was willing. And thank God for 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that says, he's not willing that any should perish. Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now listen, it gets good right here. It gets even better. Verse number 3 says, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him." So here comes this leper, unclean, comes to Jesus, worships him, right there, falls down at his feet and says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." It says, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him." Before he said anything, he put forth his hand and touched him. Jesus touched what was considered unclean, vile. He touched to prove, not only because he loved this man, because he cared about him, but I believe also to prove that when he conversed with sinners, he was in no danger of being infected. He was in no danger of being infected. Jesus could get around any of those people and not have to worry about anything. And let's read on. Let's read on. "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean." Listen, we can think back a time in our lives. I think of the song immediately. When I think of Jesus, it says he put forth his hand and he touched him. I think of when the Lord saved my soul. When I think of that song that we sing, Brother Horace, "He touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened and now I know he touched me and he made me whole." He made me whole. And two of the kindest words that you could ever hear from the Savior's lips are right there in that verse when He said, "I will. I will. Be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now listen, nature works gradually. Trees don't grow like that. Flowers don't grow. Your garden, you have to take care of it and you have to pull the weeds, and it takes a little while for those things to grow. Even water, if something's wet, it takes a little while for it to dry. Nature works gradually, but thank God that the God of nature works immediately. Immediately. He speaks and it is done. It is done. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When I bowed my head as a young boy and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior and asked Him to move inside me and I trusted Him to save me and forgive my sins, it wasn't a gradual miracle. It wasn't something that took time. It didn't take years, months, days, minutes, or even seconds. No, it was an immediate miracle when He said, "I will save you, Donald. I will." It was an immediate salvation from the God of heaven. Immediate. So it goes on. Jesus asked him, we see in verse 4, "See thou tell no man." Jesus asked him to tell nobody. But if you look in Mark chapter 1, verse 45, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. Mark 1:45 tells the same story, and it says, "He went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Jesus told him, "Man, don't tell anybody." And this man said, "I can't control, I can't contain it. I've got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me." And Lord, help us to be like that as well, thinking about all that God's done for us. Not just that He saved us, which is the most important part, but all that He does, the way He provides for us, and all the things, just to be able to publish it abroad. Psalm 66, verse 16 says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul." That's my favorite verse, my life verse. Telling others what God's done for you, this is what this man did. He couldn't contain himself, he had to tell somebody. So we've heard the story of this cleansed leper, and what God did for him on that joyous day when he no longer had to shout unclean. That man did not have to do that anymore. He could run down the street saying, "Hey, I'm clean now. Jesus cleansed me." He didn't have to yell anymore. So after we read this story of this man, the thing that jumped out to me the most in this story was the two words that Jesus said, "I will. I will." And tonight's message is simply titled, "I will." And we're going to quickly see how God says, "I will," in our lives. How God says, "I will," in our lives. Please bow with me in a quick word of prayer. I know we prayed already, but I'd like to pray again. Lord, please bless this message. Lord, I ask you to give me your power, give me clarity of mind. Lord, help me not just to focus on my notes, but to follow your Spirit's leading. Help each and every member of Loomis Park Baptist Church, everyone sitting in this auditorium, Lord, please help them to search their hearts. Help them to keep their hearts open. Lord, please save us from distraction. Please, God, just do a mighty work tonight. Speak to the hearts of your dear people. Lord, we love you so much. In your precious name, amen. Number one, God says, "I will save you. I will save you." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 10:13, I quote it once and I'll quote it again, says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He said, "I will save you." If you are lost and in sin, He will take you in. Let me say that again. If you are lost and in sin, He will take you in. When you ask God to save you, and you mean in your heart, He doesn't say, "I might." He doesn't say, "I'll think about it." He doesn't say, "I'll get back to you." He doesn't say, "Come back later when you're better." He doesn't say, "I'll try." He doesn't say, "I can't." He says, "I will. I will save you. I will forgive you. I will cleanse you. I will give you a home in heaven. I will give you that free gift of my sweet salvation." That's what God says to us. "I will save you. I will save you." I think of the hymns in our hymn book, "Saved by His power divine. Saved through new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Jesus saved." We've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. He said, "I will save you. I will save you. We can all go back to that day, that night, that church, that home, that doorstep, wherever it was, when Jesus said to us, I will save you. May we never lose that sweet moment in our minds. As David said in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know the problem with many churches nowadays, the problem with many Christians, the problem in my life most of the time, is because I forget how great it is to be saved. I forget how much God loves me and how much He was willing to give to save my soul. But if you stop for just a minute and remember that God didn't say, well, I'll save you if you do this, that, or the other thing. No, He said, just ask me and I'll save you. When I can remember that He said, I will save you, and remember that I am saved, man, it makes me want to serve God. It makes me want to do right. It makes me want to tell others. He said, I will save you. Go back to that moment in your heart. Go back to that moment in your life when you got saved. And remember that He said, I will. I will save you. If you're not saved here tonight, you just heard what I said. He said, I will save you. Don't wait any longer. Number one, I will save you. Number two, go to Psalms chapter 139. Psalm 139. Psalms chapter 139. We'll start reading in verse number 7. It says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with me. Number two, he says, I will be with you. I will be with you. Say amen, church. It's good that God is with us. He's with us. He says in Psalm 73, verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Oh, that's so wonderful to read. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Hebrews 13, 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter where I go, God is with me. No matter where you go, God is with you. On my darkest of night or my brightest of day, by my wearisome side, my Savior will stay. Though the storm winds may toss and the thunder does roll, I can still hear His voice, and He calms my fearful soul. So no matter the day and no matter the hour, I can count on His presence, His grace, and His power. He said, I will be with you. I will be with you. Some of you are going through a trial right now that nobody knows about, and you feel alone, and you feel like you're in the dark, and that no one can help you. But listen, folks, if you are saved by His blood, God is with you. He will never leave you. He will be that shoulder to cry on. He will be that helping hand. He is there for you, and He wants to be there for you. The Bible clearly says, I read all those verses not because I wanted to fill time, but because I wanted to show you that the Bible says that He is there with us. He will never leave us. He will never leave us. He said, I will be with you. Number three, He says, I will lead you. I will lead you. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Exodus 13:21 says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. All throughout eternity, God has led His people. and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Psalm 48:14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." May we make that our prayer of our lives, being our guide till we die. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." God said, "I will lead you. I will lead you." He will show us what He wants us to do. He will show me what He wants me to do, but I need to be willing to do it. God could have a great plan for my life, but if I choose not to follow it, that's my fault. Teenager, listen, God has a plan for your life. He will lead you. He said, "I will lead you." But you have to be willing to do that plan. You have to be willing to give up your plan and lean not unto thine own understanding and trust God and acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will lead you. Folks, not just teenagers, all of us, God can lead us. He wants to lead us. He wants to give us that next step of our life, but we need to be willing to do it. We need to be willing to follow Him. Following. He said, "I will lead you." I had the opportunity, before the Lord led us to Jackson, an opportunity arose for me to go work at another church in Evansville, Indiana. And it was an open door, and I almost went through it. Literally, I was working at Turf Care Supply Incorporated, a fertilizer company in Massachusetts, and I was sick and tired of it. I said, "Lord, I'm not called to drive forklift. Please, lead me somewhere." And I remember this door opened in Evansville, Indiana. And we decided, "Okay, Lord, I think we're going to go through it." And we even announced it to our church. I remember when our pastor got up and said, "Folks, you know, Donald and Marissa, they're going to Evansville, Indiana." And we're like, "Yeah, it was Bakey Road Baptist Church." Even our preacher made fun of the name of the church because he didn't want us to leave. And he said, they're going to Evansville, Indiana." And we were planning on doing that. But it was amazing. As we began to try to plan out how to get there and the moving truck and all these things, everything started to fall apart. And this door that seemed so wide open felt like it was just getting slammed in our faces. And I'm sitting there scratching my head saying, "Lord, what is going on here?" And then the sweet hand of the Lord led us to this place. And I'm so thankful that I didn't force that going to Evansville, because I wouldn't be standing here tonight. God will lead us. God will show us where He wants us to go, what He wants us to do. We have to be willing to follow Him. Not just in the big things. That's a big decision in our lives. And I'm glad the Lord led us in the right way. But even in little things. Even in little things. Here's something that happened in my life very recently that it's really little in comparison to big decisions like that. But it's still an important thing. This is all have to do with my new van. And you know what? I got in the mail a little piece of paper that said, "Your warranty is about to expire." Who's ever gotten one of those before? Hey, I never had a new car. I had two salvages, and then I got this used one. So this is new for me. So I said, "Oh man, my warranty's gonna expire. I better do something about it." Dummy, I'm a dummy. So it's amazing. They put on those little things, time sensitive material, and this government paperwork. Looks like if you don't call them, they're gonna call the police on you. You're gonna get arrested, be let out of my house and cuffed because I didn't renew my warranty. So I said, "Man, I better get on this." So I call them, and I'm talking. They're so kind to me. Obviously. And they're saying, "You know, man, we'll take care of you. You know, you're a youth pastor. We want to take care of you." And I'm like, "Oh, these people are so nice. Man, this must be a Christian business or something." And I'm talking to these people. And they said, "Man, you know, we'll take care of this and this. If you take a trip to Massachusetts, you know, we'll," because I told them I'm from there. They said, we'll, you know, if your car breaks down, we'll give you 3 nights in the hotel and we'll pay for that and food." I'm like, "This sounds great. Man, this is awesome. I better do this." I said, "Well, what's this going to cost me?" I said, "Well, it'll be, you know, this down payment and this much a month for 18 months, and then you're set for 5 years. I'm like, "That sounds pretty reasonable." And I'm telling you, folks, this is the Holy Spirit. I believe this is the Holy Spirit. The Lord knows our finances. That this church takes such good care of us. But there's some bill. I have some college bills that I'd like to pay off that I'm still trying to pay off. And this would have probably set that back even further. So I'm on the phone with this man, giving him my information. My email address. They already had my address because I got like 7 letters from them. So they already have my address. So I'm giving them the address, giving them my email, and I'm talking to them, and I'm telling you, I'm serious. It was like the Holy Spirit just slapped me in the head and said, "You need to think." And I got this sick feeling in my stomach. And I said, "Well," and I hung up on him. But listen, I didn't know what was right. So I called my dad. My dad knew. I said, hey, Dad. I said, question for you. You know, I got this van, and I got a letter saying my warranty, you know, is expiring. Donald, don't do it. No, it's a scam. I said, really? He said, yeah. And he talked, tell me all these stories. And listen, saved me a whole bunch of money. I really believe the Holy Spirit knew that I was going to fall for that. I was going to fall for that. And he stopped me. And listen, I believe that was of the Lord. That's a lot. $3,000 at the end of this warranty I would have paid. I'm like, man, I could have just bought a whole new engine if I wanted to with that money that I just spent. But listen, folks, I believe that's a little thing in comparison to a bit. But listen, God wants to lead us. But we need to be willing to follow Him. We need to be willing to follow His leading. He said, I will lead you. I hope as a Christian you allow the Lord to lead you, not just in the big decisions, but in the little ones as well. When you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart for something, whether it's, hey, you know what, you probably should start looking for another job. You know what, you should probably, you know, pass that track to that person. You know what, you need to be in church tonight. You know what, you need to follow God's leading. He will bless you if you follow Him. He said, I will lead you. Number four. God said, I will provide for you. I will provide for you. Proverbs or Psalms chapter 3 and verse 5 says, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Genesis 22 and verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. That's a great story of God providing a lamb. And go over to Matthew chapter 6 real quick. Matthew chapter 6. We're almost done, folks. Oh, this is just a reminder tonight. A reminder. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll start reading in verse 25. And think of what the Word of God says. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? I wish I could add a couple cubits to my stature. Verse 28 says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I will say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things that the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God says, I will provide for you. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God said, I will provide for you. I will provide for you. How many times could each of us go back to how God has taken care of us? In my short 23 years, I have many experiences where God has just poured out His blessings upon us. And those of you who've lived a little longer than I have probably even have more times of when God has stepped in, when God has intervened, when God has seen your problem and taken care of it for you because He loves us. He said, I will provide for you. Man, what a thought to think. The verse in Psalm says, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, He can. Yes, He can. And if He can do that for the Israelites, I'm sure that He can help us as well. I'm sure that He can provide for us as well. To think that the God of all the ages, the God who created this whole earth, cares enough about me to provide for me. What a thought. I think last year, we had only been here for a few months, and my Jeep, my stupid Jeep, whew, giving me problems again. And I remember getting up into the pulpit on a Wednesday night, and I just really was making a joke about it. But I said, folks, pray for my Jeep. It's giving me problems. And I just kind of mentioned it almost as a joke. You know what happened after service? I'll never ever forget. walking out the back. My Jeep was in my garage parked because it wouldn't run, and I was going to walk back home. And I saw a few cars in my driveway, and I got to my house. My garage was open, and there were three of our men in the, just checking it out, trying to figure out what was wrong with it. I remember Lem was one of them, was there looking at my car, a few other men, and they're just figuring it out. And you know what? The Lord provided. I remember they figured out the problem, they fixed it, and one of them even paid for it. Said, you know, I want to help you out. God provided. God knows what we need. God knows when we're struggling. God knows those of you in this room who say, you know what? I'm having a hard time getting these bills taken care of. God knows these things. And He wants to provide for us. We just got to trust Him. He already said, I will provide for you. I will provide for you. And He can do it again and again and again. God will provide beyond what we imagine. So much more than we can fathom, He will supply. God will provide when we trust in Him completely and take each step believing like a child. God will provide. God will provide. He said it, folks. I will provide for you. Don't forget it. Number five. We're almost done, folks. I got two more. And you know what? As I prepared this message, these last 2 points got the least amount of notes, so you're lucky, because I needed to finish up. Number five, you know what? This is a good one. This is a great one. I hope you get excited about it. I will come again for you. I will come again for you. John chapter 14, verses 1, if you'd like to turn there. John chapter 14, and verse 1 through 3, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Folks, He's coming again for us. Folks, He's coming again. Let me say it again, folks. Woo! He's coming again for us. He's not leaving us here alone. He's coming back for us. We just need to hold on a little bit longer. Miss Karen, I know you're annoyed about the stupid Jackson County Fair and that wicked evil band, but listen, one day there's gonna be no more of that stuff. There's gonna be no more rock concerts. There's gonna be no more booze. There's gonna be no more bars. God's gonna come back and reign, and everything's gonna be great. He's coming back for us. It's almost over. It's almost over. We're going home. Keep serving. Keep fighting. Keep loving. Keep witnessing. Keep helping. And listen, keep on going till we're gone. Keep on going till we're gone. I've made that my motto. I want to keep going till I'm gone. No matter how much things are, you know, not doing well, I want to keep on going till we're gone. Keep going till we're gone. He said, I will come again for you. And lastly, I will always love you. What a great way to end it. I will always love you. I want to read these verses to you. These are some of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 and verse 39 says this. And folks, man, let this sink into your heart. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any of the creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He loves us and He's not stopping. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He loves me in spite of me. He loves me in spite of all the mistakes I make, in spite of all the times that I failed Him, and He knows my heart. He still loves me and He still loves you, and nothing will ever change that, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He loves us. He loves us. God is love, and nothing can change that. Sing this chorus with me. Oh, sing it like you mean it. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. To Him be. Think of the words. They are weak, but He. Now think of this, folks. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you and Jesus loves me. And nothing's going to change that, folks. Nothing's going to change that. He said, I will always love you. Now listen, he said, I will, to that leper in Matthew chapter 8. He said, I will, be thou clean. He cleansed him. And folks, he's saying, I will to us. Right now, he's saying, I will. Some of you, if you're unsaved, he's saying, I will save you. He's saying, I will save you. He's saying, I will save you. If you're not saved, he said, I will save you. But if you're saved, he's saying, no, I'll be with you. I will be with you. I will lead you. I will provide for you. I will come again for you. And I will always, always love you. Folks, how about tonight? How about tonight, as God speaks to your heart about, maybe it's about your faith. Maybe you're listening to me and you're saying, man, I've forgotten some of that. I feel like I've been acting in a way where I've forgotten that He's going to provide for me. I've forgotten that He loved me. I've forgotten that He saved me. You know what? My faith is struggling. Maybe it's your witness. See, I haven't been a witness like I should. Maybe it's your loved ones or the way you treat people or whatever the Lord's speaking to your heart about. Maybe it's about your soul. You're not saved. Whatever it may be. How about, because of how He has said, I will to us. Tonight, will you say, I will to Him? Say, I will. Say, if it's thy will, I will. If it's thy will, I will. And tell him that tonight, whatever it may be. Heads bowed.